Later this week, the Vatican will host a global bishops' summit on how to address clerical abuse. This meeting was planned last year following a spate of new abuse revelations in the United States and elsewhere. So what do victims and campaigners want from the meeting? Well, clerical abuse campaigner Mary Collins is here. Welcome. Now, this week, Theodore McCarrick, a former top American cardinal, dismissed from the priesthood at the age of 88 for abusing a minor. Is this too little too late, or is it a step in the right direction?
It's a step in the right direction because it's something that has not happened for centuries for a cardinal to be removed. It's very late in that his behaviour was known about decades ago, and he hasn't only been removed for abusing a minor, he's been abusing vulnerable adults as well, young men in seminaries, etc. That was known, and the church actually paid compensation to two of those victims a number of years ago. So it is late in the day, but it is good to see this action being taken. It should be the same action should be taken for any cleric that abuses.
And given the timing of it, could it focus the minds of the bishops who will be heading into this summit in Rome on Thursday?
Yes, and anything that focuses the minds of the bishops going in is very welcome.
Now, there is some mystery surrounding the precise agenda for the summit. From a victim's point of view, what do yourself and others want to see addressed here?
Well, the main thing that most victims' advocacy organisations are asking for is that zero tolerance is put into the law of the church, canon law. In other words, any cleric who is found guilty of abusing a minor will be removed from the clerical state, will no longer be a priest. And the Pope has promised that, but it has not been happening. And in fact, in some places where priests have been removed from the clerical state by the local church, the Vatican has changed the sentence to a suspension and allowed them to return to ministry. So it needs to be in canon law, in the church's own law, to ensure that it actually happens. Also, I think what we need and what most survivors would see would be safeguarding policies in every part of the world. They have happened in countries like Ireland and America. What's happened is the church, when it has been forced to react in countries where there has been a big upheaval and the crisis has become public, they've reacted by putting in the right processes and the right procedures. But in other countries around the world, they haven't done that. And as there will be bishops at this meeting from Asia, Africa, every part of the world, it's an opportunity for them to be made to see that this has to happen. I feel that the intention, we are told, is to send the bishops away knowing what they should do. But myself and other survivors would say they should not just be sent away knowing what they should do, but they should be sent away committing themselves to actually do it, because where the church has fallen down has always been on implementation.
So consistency and transparency is the key. Could it be that the Irish safeguarding regime, which is held up to be a good one, could be given out as an example of best practice and used by the church in other regions? Do you see that happening?
It certainly could be used, as could the American Dallas Charter, which is very strong and includes zero tolerance. It's not as if the church has to reinvent the wheel. They have got policies in place like the Irish one and the American one, which, if transposed to other countries, would be what is needed. They say there are cultural differences in different countries so that they can't do that. But the fact is that there's nothing to stop clerics in every part of the world being having to be kept to a particular standard within the church.
Now, in recent weeks, we also learned about the abuse of nuns in parts of Africa and elsewhere, abuse that Pope Francis himself said is probably still going on. Instead of getting to grips with the abuse issue, it does sometimes appear that the church is almost becoming overwhelmed by the new revelations.
Sadly, it is true that they are beginning now to have it coming at them in waves from every area and aspect. But it is a crisis of their own making, in that they have known about these problems for decades, abuse of seminarians, abuse of nuns, and they've kicked the can down the road. But eventually you come to the end of the road and you have a pile of cans to deal with. You know, that is the problem. It's that they have not dealt with anything until it's become public. And once it becomes public, then they come under pressure. But it wasn't through ignorance that they've come to this point. They knew all these things were happening, but they obviously felt that as long as it didn't become public, they didn't have to deal with it.
And finally, Pope Francis himself, he was considered slow to get to grips with this when he came into office. Now he's holding this meeting. To what extent does his legacy depend on how all this turns out?
Well, this meeting could be a turning point. It could be the point where the church shows that it is going to grasp the nettle, take the actions that are needed, concrete, solid actions, no more promises, no more words. It's very much up in the air as to whether this is going to happen or not. And it will affect Pope Francis's legacy, for sure.
OK, we leave it there. Clerical abuse campaigner Mary Collins, thank you for joining us.